there's carrying out the vision of your local church, but also at all times in anything that you're doing, thinking, does this actually benefit the body of Christ? Because that's God's perspective, is he doesn't always see us as different entities or different brands. He sees us as the body.
Hey, welcome to the Influencing Society podcast, a podcast that's going to develop your leadership, that's going to sharpen your faith and help you influence your world for good and for God. My name is Chris Ensby and I'm the host of this podcast, and I have the privilege today of sitting here with Chardon Lewis. Chardon, welcome to the show.
Thanks, Chris. Great. This is fun.
Yeah, it's good to have you on the show.
Thank you.
And now you are, your title is the Global Creative Director for City Point Church. And a lot of people know you from different areas, maybe from Y Society Conference, maybe from the success that City Point Worship has had, Into the Deep. How many views is that up to? 30 million?
Yeah, over 30 million something. Not sure.
Yeah. But yeah. And that was written by you and your wife, Jasmine?
Yeah. And also, people don't often know this, I feel like me and Jazz get the credit, but also a guy in our church, Colin Moore.
Yeah.
Great songwriter. Bit of a funny story with that, but yeah, he wrote a bit of it as well. So the three of us.
And I've loved seeing all the clips from all over the world coming in from Philippines or stadiums around the world just worshiping that song. So obviously it has quite a broad range of influence.
Yeah.
And that's something that we'd love to touch on today as well, the music aspect and how you're inspired by that as well. But the first kind of common theme I see around your life is that whatever, you're a bit of a pioneer in terms of when I first came here. Mm. I had no idea what church world was, but first year it was, hey, let's start a young adults conference. How do you get those ideas? Did that idea, say, let's go with Y Society Conference. Did that idea come to you from God? Is it just you witnessing what's happening in people around you? What's that pioneering spirit?
At the time, our young adult community was growing pretty rapidly. Like compared to most churches, I think they had flourishing youth ministries, but the young adult ministry at the time, I'm excited to say it's not the case now. Like so many churches have great young adult communities. But I think at the time, young adults as an age bracket or season of life in most churches, not just in Australia, but even the States, they would just kind of combine it and just call it youth.
Sure.
And so for us here, when Pastor Mark and Lee, our global senior pastors at City Point, they asked Jazz and I to come on and be the young adult pastors. We were super humbled and honored slash scared to do that. And many people are like, don't do that. Like, that's like a market of people you don't want to lead. Like, they're the most opinionated.
So you were working for the church, but you weren't pastoring at that stage.
Yes. I was on staff part-time in the music department, like in our creative team. And we were doing a bit of like traveling and touring and albums and just serving in that team at the time. And then they said, hey, Pastor Mark approached me and said, hey, I think you're the guy to lead young adults. So yeah, one of those kind of Gideon moments where you're like, oh, I don't think I'm equipped for that.
Sure.
I feel like I'd do a disservice to the church if I was to lead or shepherd that age group. But yeah, as every good husband does, they listen to their wife. And so when she prayed, she felt God say, this is actually something we're meant to do. You need to quit your other job and do this. So I just obeyed the wife before the Holy Spirit. In fact, the Holy Spirit more so talks to me mostly through my wife often,
right,
if big decisions I've found. Anyway, that's a different topic. But so long story short, we were leading young adults, and then by the goodness of God and just great team, we just started growing and trying to, you know, we just broke it down to basics. Let's reach people. Let's disciple people.
Sure.
It grew. People then started saying, you know, can we catch up from other churches to us? Hey, can we catch up once a week? Or how are you building this age bracket? In most of our churches, we're really struggling. Or our senior pastors asked me to come to City Point and see what you're doing. Something's obviously working. And then I'd love to take the credit for starting the conference, but it was actually Pastor Mark and Joel Ramsey were in a conversation about just church-wide. Like, should we do a conference? Should we not do a conference? And with the growth of young adults, it was just thrown in that room like, hey, we should do probably a young adult conference. It'll save you time, Chad, and having to meet up with lots of people from other churches asking questions.
Sure.
Just bring them in once a year, do the training and equipping there. So, and then we just started to, once given permission to run one, I guess, you know, we started to create, I feel like you're a big part of it. I feel like you helped create, like, do this, don't do this. You know, so it was a good team effort of what would a good, healthy young adult conference look like. And yeah, it thrived and it became what is Y Society Conference.
And then the golden days ended, our partnership came to an end.
Oh, it was like a breakup. I felt like my best friend and ministry partner was moved on to bigger, better things. So it was an exciting day, to be honest. It was when Pastor Mark said, hey, you know, you and Chris are good partners, Schiff, and you work really well together. I'm like, yeah, it's fire. And I was like, yeah, so he's moving to take over pretty much City Point Brisbane pastorally to lead all ages, all generations. So it was like a happy, sad day, but...
Happy, sad day.
Yeah.
And now you're in the creative world full-time.
Yes.
As a global creative director. And so you've kind of done a full circle.
Fully.
And so in this, and now we've pioneered some more music. How do you get your inspiration then in that songwriting, say Into the Deep or any new stuff you've been working on?
Yep.
What's your creative process around pioneering a new song or writing a new song?
Yeah, I think for me, there's so many great songwriters. You know, there's so many songs already out there. So if I'm going to write a song, you don't want to just write another song that's already been sung or already been written.
Sure.
For me, it's probably just, to be honest, I actually don't try write for church congregation setting. I know a lot of writers, they write with the goal, which is a good intention, hear my heart, to facilitate worship for other people, to have a language to communicate to. Have, like, it's a pretty huge responsibility, songwriting. You're basically putting dialogue and language in people's mouths because they read it off a screen. Whatever's up there, they'll say it to God.
Yep.
So it's a huge honor. But for me, when I write, I more so find the good ones anyway. There's a lot of bad ones. But the good ones usually come out of just not trying to songwrite, just like actually worshiping and having quiet time with God. And then he'll prompt me with like, this is now for other people too.
Sure.
So I'll start to collect usually like there's a theme or something I'm crying out to God. I don't get too personal because no one wants to sing about your garbage that is just between me and God in the garage where I'm in my studio, like singing on the piano. But I feel like generally it's just, it sounds a bit cliche, but it's just usually spending time with God, loving him, worshiping him. And then sometimes it'll be, a certain theme will come out or something will cry out of my heart and then he'll say, this is actually something. Sometimes it's different. Like I've had times where I've read the word of God. There's a song called Extol, the most recent album, and I'm just reading something. I don't actually understand it. Same with a song called Dominion. I remember reading it once and not actually knowing what the words mean,
sure.
Extol or Dominion. So I feel like God's like, hey, I want you to actually study this and then I want you to put it to song because then when people sing it, it'll help them also feel a bit intrigued or feel like they need to learn. So it'll kind of direct them back to the Bible in their own private time to actually... If I'm going to sing this song, Dominion or Extol, what am I singing?
Yeah.
So I've kind of in some times have had it in different ways. Sometimes out of the Bible, sometimes in quiet time, and then sometimes with the team, just songwriting sessions, you know.
So it usually comes out of that internal place, comes out of your heart first into that. Yeah. So it's never a process of, we need a new album. Let me just write something down that I think people are going to like, tug on some heartstrings. Always come from an internal place of worship. Those are the best ones.
Yeah, they're the good ones. Yeah. You know, and it's good sometimes. Obviously, we're blessed with a church that has an album every year or so. And with that, puts healthy pressure of like, okay, Chan, you can't not songwrite for a year because we've got to do a church album.
Right.
But that's not really, I guess, the intent or the cause is not that. But but that does help sometimes. We're like, okay, we've got a deadline. We need to sing soon. So
how does your then, if it comes out of that internal place, how does your relationship with God, like a relationship with God, obviously will have some times where you feel tight with him, some times where he feels distant.
Yeah.
Have you had times where you're like, I haven't been pressing in with God and now
fully
the fruit of my life and my worship songs aren't actually as powerful as they were when I was pressing in? Do you find that transfers?
Definitely. I think if there's times where I'm dry, then the songwriting can be dry.
Sure.
The times where I feel like my cup is full and I'm doing everything I can to pursue Christ, then just even naturally on a practical level, you love being in a time of worship more often.
Yeah.
And you love being on the piano and worshiping God. But in saying that, there are seasons where I think maybe not dry, but and maybe not distant from God, sometimes even running to God, but in a hard season or circumstances around life are getting hard, it's just such a perfect time to run to God, and that's usually when some of the best songs come out. When you're in one of those seasons of, okay, God, things aren't great in the natural, but I'm still going to pursue you more than ever. Even the season we're in at the moment with everything going on in society, I think so many great songs for years to come are going to be written right now
in the hard
people's
times.
Hardships.
I think that's probably comes into the heart of worship as well. Right, not when you're feeling it, when you're feeling whatever, but maybe worship is more that directional about your intent. Like even if you've been far from God, say you've away, maybe listen to this podcast and you've been away from God for a year.
Yeah.
But so then you don't have to get to this place of closeness to worship again.
Fully.
It's just this turn of the heart. So maybe the worship is just that directional avenue.
Chris, we need to write a song, I feel, by the way.
You start now? You start off.
Okay, find me a key.
Yeah.
La, la, la.
We don't want that. We want people to keep tuned in.
I don't know, with your theology and my, my voice or something, we could come up with a good one.
Okay, I'll hold
Let's
you to that.
Let's do it.
We got this recorded, right?
This is on record. It's got to happen now.
I also love that you use scripture as a base for it. Because even when I'm singing City Point songs through the week, it reverbs in my heart. It becomes repetitive. And more, so you sing a song more than you read that verse in the Bible. Wow. And so if it's not reflecting, you know, what would we be singing? So I love that.
That's so true.
We really use that because sometimes that's the only Bible people would be reading or singing or reverbing through their week as well.
And melody, even psychologically, right? Like we all know that when you put a song to something or lullaby to words, like for me, I still know 1 John 1:9. If we confess our sins, he's faithful and just, will forgive our sins, purify us from all unrighteousness. From grade one at my school, putting a melody to that scripture. So it's funny how melody, even in our brains, can help us remind us of the word of God. So, and for that very reason, we've got a dean of our Bible college here at City Point, who we obviously have to submit all of our songs to just to make sure it actually is biblical.
Do you get rejected much?
I've been rejected. Hey, I'm not going to lie. Not the whole song, but I've had like words or certain lines where he's like, hey, I don't know if that would translate well or people would misunderstand, you know.
Sure.
Actually, in fact, Into the Deep had a different bridge.
Yeah.
And the dean of the Bible college said, hey, I think you should change it. And it's funny. It's funny how like if you submit yourself to your leader and say, you know, I'll change that because it's so easy to hold on to your songs really tight.
Sure.
Like, no, it's not biblically incorrect or theologically not sound, you know. It was a tough one because I really loved that bridge, to be honest.
Yeah.
But now it's funny how God can breathe on anything and any song. And now I'm thankful that he told me to do that for the sake of that bridge.
Yeah.
It's better.
Is there another song that you think is going to go next Into the Deep? Next
30 million?
I'm still praying it's Seek. If you ever heard this song called Seek, it's all about, I guess, chasing and I love the chase. Yes. So maybe that's my...
Yeah, you like that?
I like that.
Seek. Yeah. Oh, thanks, Chris. I don't know. I think you can never tell.
Yeah.
Into the Deep wasn't even our strongest song on that album.
Yeah, right.
In my opinion, like in terms of congregational songs, you know, we try and guess every week. We're like, this song's going to go great. And then it just doesn't fly. Or the songs you're like, oh, that's okay. Should we put it on the album? Maybe not. And then next minute, you know, God breathes on it. So it's hard to tell. Hey,
yeah,
we've all got different favorites.
Yeah.
But I'm not a great guesser. So if I guessed, I'd probably guess a dud, to be totally honest. But I do think the song we write together.
Yeah. Oh, naturally, that'll go top.
That'll be
We'll launch
Billboard.
It on the podcast. Too.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. It should be the background music of this Influencing Society podcast.
Yeah, yep, for the intro and the outro.
Anyway, just prophesying that. Mm. Sorry, Chris.
You got me thinking. I got to stay on track.
Okay.
So going through our history then, before, when I first came on, you didn't have kids.
Yes.
It was just you and Jazz. That must seem like a long time.
Such a long time ago.
Ago. And then during that time, Hunter and Knox came on the scene.
Yes.
And tell us about those years. How did you become a family man? Because you are quite driven. You spend all day and night working on the cause of Christ and your job if you could.
Sure.
So what changed in your world when kids came on the scene?
Yeah, I guess everything, to be totally honest. Because we were running pretty hard pre-kids, day and night, like you said, whether it's at universities or, you know, music or traveling, whatever. And we just like every first time parent, I guess like yourself, right? It's like every day you're learning new skills or you try a certain parenting style, but one child to the next is even different. So it's like every day was like a learning and adjustment. One of our boys is totally fine when I'm away. Like I could travel for a month and he won't even say, I miss you. Like he won't even want to FaceTime. The other boy, if I'm away for 2 hours, will be like sending me text messages like, where are you? I love you, Dad. Like, you know, so it was totally an adjustment. For Jazz and I, how do we do marriage well? Even relationship with God, like what was once our quiet time or our daily devotion. But if that doesn't match with sleep times and it's like, okay, I don't know how I'm spending time with God.
Sure.
So in all honesty and transparency, every day was a new journey of how do I do my marriage? How am I parenting? How am I my father? How am I spending time with God? What does it look like? How do I involve my kids in having a relationship with God? So a lot of Holy Spirit reliant / not much sleep and great chats with you and other great friends of like, hey, I'm trying to be a dad, but help me out here. So
do you have any tip for people who go, because not that COVID is the same situation, but any transition season or hardship season like that produces that in people. Like, how do I navigate this? How do I get through?
Fully.
What were the things you did put in place during that time to get you through?
I think for me, there was a certain guy, I won't say his name, but a certain guy in our church who is a leader in our church. He's not on staff, but he's a great man of God. And I met with him for help.
Right.
Just on really practical level, he's got multiple kids. And so whether having a win or whether having a shocker week or having my kids call me Chardon instead of Dad, or be like, or saying things like, oh, why are you home tonight? You know, those sort of things. I'm like, oh my gosh. He'd be the guy to run to with like, hey, help me out with how to do this life well. And yeah, I think another thing too was, to be honest, just submitting to my wife in the way she wanted to parent.
Right.
She is, I wouldn't want to say a primary caregiver, but she she's with our kids a lot more in terms of time than I am. And so for me, being someone that was at work or traveling more than her for that season, she didn't travel with me much. So it was a lot of how can I serve you as my wife to best parent?
Sure.
And what do I need to do as a father? Like, where do I need to step in? So she'd be like, cool, get used to, you know, doing nappies because that's going to be your job every time you're in, all these sort of things.
Yeah.
So I was probably learning to, just support her in her parenting style. And she's an incredible mother. So lucky. Like, I'd be legit stuffed without her in my life. So just honestly learning a bit from my wife, to be honest. She's a big reader, so she's lots to study, a lot of research and how to develop children and the ramifications of doing it one way versus the other. So I was almost learning a lot of her instead of reading books, to be honest.
But yeah,
sure. How about you? How are you going? You're a new dad.
Yeah, I'm a new dad.
How's it going?
Going well. Roar is good.
Great.
Yeah. But I think what the things you touched on are so imperative for any crisis or transition season. Like having accountability or someone, mentor, someone two things off. Because I know in Australian culture for guys, and we talk about this on one of our other podcast episodes in the Fathering Project, is that Australian, like, women can open up to each other. They get on the phone, they talk.
Sure.
Australian men, it's not like a natural thing to do.
So true.
And so many people go downhill because they don't have that accountability. They don't have that mentor, someone speaking into their life.
Yeah.
Because vulnerability is seen as a sign of weakness.
Fully. That's so true.
And so that probably saved you a fair bit in there as well. But all happy wife, happy life.
That's it. It looks like you're doing a good job. She seems to be smiling. So I'm like, Chris is doing good.
The nappies. It's all about the nappies.
If you do it, you're in the good books. And even I think to having good friends, like I can still remember specific even moments in my life where I'd call you or we'd meet up, and just having friends that, you know, is a good, safe place. Like you're saying, being a bit transparent where you don't have to pretend to be this perfect dad or this perfect minister or this perfect person of influence or whatever it is people do in their life. For me, having good friends that I could just be really honest with, like things that are going well, things that are actually really adjusting as a parent and things you have to give up. Obviously, you can't do all the things you want to do unless you want to be a selfish parent. So that's probably another important element too.
Yeah. So another theme of your life is this kingdom mindedness that you've carried through everything. Which is, I think, incredible. And as City Point, we have that mandate on our church to do something for the whole body of Christ. Do you think every church needs to be kingdom-minded in that way in terms of equipping? Are some churches just called to build there? Is kingdom-minded a non-negotiable for churches and for worship leaders?
Yeah, wow. That's a great question. It's big. It reminds me, when I was in Guatemala, there's a guy, a pastor called Cash Luna. He's worth a look up, by the way. Go on his Instagram. He leads an enormous church, like close to 100,000 people, and it's a huge stadium and hockey fields, and the kids' facility is like literally 10 times bigger than most Australian churches. Like, it's an incredible leader, an incredible man. And I was at a conference, he was speaking, and he actually talked about this, about every church is doing a disservice to heaven if they're not thinking the body of Christ as the way God sees the body of Christ. And sure, we all have different mantles, or there's different value systems, or even church expressions. You know, every church is different. Some express, you know, for us, we're a Pentecostal church, or we may appear charismatic and very evangelical in a sense. And then there's other churches, you know, the Great Baptist Church down the road, that may be not as evangelical, but great teaching of the word of God and making disciples really well. So we've all obviously got our different, you know, just like the Bible teaches us on different parts of the body and different functions. But something he taught that night that affected me probably for the rest of my life, I hope, is there's carrying out the vision of your local church, but also at all times in anything that you're doing, thinking, does this actually benefit the body of Christ? Because that's God's perspective, is he doesn't always see us as different entities or different brands. He sees us as the body. So it challenged me, because he started to even give examples. It was a conference for pastors. And he started to give real practical examples, even with your finances, when you're deciding who to hire on staff, you know, not just thinking, what does this do for my immediate institution? Will this be a benefit to the body of Christ by spending my money? You know, so it was a challenge of that we are all, I believe now, we are all responsible to, for me, obviously I work for Pastor Mark and Lee Ramsey. They're my pastors, you know, they're your pastor, they're our pastors. So for us, you know, we do have a mantle on our church, and it's the value system of our global senior pastors to unmistakably influence our world for good and for God.
Yep.
So that's our direct vision. That's everything we do and decisions we make is through the filter of that. But at the same time, you know, that scripture, like, we don't work unto men, but we work unto the Lord. You know, I think sometimes we can think that's for secular workplace, but I believe all of us are in full-time ministry. There's not really secular versus Christian. So for all of us, even in the church, I have to remind myself, I do practically work for Pastor Mark and Lee, and they are the ones that give the vision and the mission of what I do, have the privilege to even outwork on their behalf. But at the same time as well, we're responsible for God as well. So it's the marrying of serving their vision as well as, and even just trusting their great leadership, that everything that they're giving out for us to lead comes from God, you know, and trusting their appointed leaders. So yeah, I'm super stoked. I think, like you, to be a part of a church that is kingdom minded, and our pastors, everything that they're teaching us and encouraging us with, and even educating the whole church with, is a kingdom minded approach. So we're quite blessed in our setting to have kingdom minded pastors.
And so taking that thought, I guess, outside the four walls of the church, which I guess don't exist in this season anyway, is that
so true.
Our businesses and our lives, I guess, should also then be kingdom minded. Like, kingdom minded isn't just something you turn on, turn off. It's not even just church world, really. Then it should be how am I kingdom minded with my family?
Fully.
Who do I let speak into my kids' lives? All that kind of thing. I guess kingdom mindedness isn't a church concept or a leadership concept. It's just a believer's concept that everything we now do is kingdom minded.
Totally.
Businesses, all that kind of thing.
Yeah, that's awesome. The more that could do that, like, the more of us in our different callings, like, you know, you had, we've all got the same calling, right? To love God and to reach people and disciple people and make disciples of nations. But like, you worked in a different setting before working in the church, but you were still a minister of the gospel, even in your influential sphere that you were in university and having staff under you and that sort of thing.
Yeah. I think it's an interesting concept as well then, because we have businesses that have employees who aren't Christian, yet that business can still be kingdom-minded. So what you're talking about, who do I employ?
Yeah.
It's that we not just have to employ Christians
to
be kingdom-minded. We can choose the best of everything that's in the world, but when we bring it under God's leadership or God's vision, their resources become kingdom-minded, kingdom as well.
Yeah, it's so good.
Which I think the one of the downfalls of the Christian world is using only Christian resources to get Christian end goals done. Whereas we should be using the world's resources. We can use everything out there. Some most talented people, we don't use in our businesses because they don't identify with the same belief system that we do.
Yeah, that's interesting.
Yet they still can work towards the same end goal.
Fully. And the fruit of them being surrounded by a Christian industry or a Christian CEO who then has the Christian-based values, whether they realize they're Christian or not, or biblical, you know, you see some people get saved through that. So
that's right.
Yeah,
absolutely.
It's cool.
One of the other things, themes that I loved about your life is every time I've seen you go through a transition season, and so many people's life, we identify as males, we identify with our work a lot. So you could have identified as, I am the YAS pastor. I'm the young adults pastor for City Point Church. But as soon as Pastor Mark asked you to change that, you did in an instant. There was no mourning period. There was no, who am I now?
Fully.
There was no loss of confidence or anything like that. And what I've seen you do in your life is you've always been able to embrace the next God has for you without being so disgruntled or leave some of you in the past. Or, I started YAS Society Conference. Because when you did that, you transitioned it so well to Pastor Chris Hodgman and Shannon, and they ran with it. But that, it wasn't like, hey, here's my baby, you take care of it. It was like, this is now yours.
Fully.
I'm moving on.
Yep.
You've always been able to have this mentality of transitioning to God's next without begrudging the leaving of what you pioneered. Yep. So how is that? How have you been able to do that? Is that something you've always done? Is that something you're intentional to do?
At the end of the day, no matter what role we're given, whether in church, out of church, in life, parenting, being a husband, you know, the goal is to bring glory to God.
Yeah.
So for me, if I'm running hard with what God's placed in my hand at that season, I'll give it blood, sweat, and tears, whatever I can do, whatever God wants me to do in that season. But just knowing that there are seasons, you know. So for me, I've never felt super attached or... I don't want to lie and say like my identity hasn't been wrapped up in a role, because like you said, it's so natural for people, but I definitely have tried to be really intentional to make sure I never do that.
Yeah.
That my identity is not having a certain title or a certain thing at the bottom of my email, you know, footer. So for me, when Pastor Mark says, hey, I want you to now move into this role, it becomes almost quite easy. It almost sets yourself up for a win, because you're not like, oh my gosh, but I need to be the young adult pastor that's doing all these things, you know, or I need to be the worship pastor, you know, we can idolize things. So in saying that though, if he did say, hey, you're the kids pastor next week, I would say yes, but I do pray quietly that that doesn't happen. But I think if you see yourself as, for me, I wasn't the pastor of the young adults community. It was Mark and Lee's church and it was their young adults. I just had the privilege in that season to help play my part to shepherd them, but they weren't my young adults. And it's the same with worship team and our creative team now. It's not my creative team, you know, it's the creative team of this church.
Sure.
It's God's people, but we just get the privilege, I guess, in a season to lead and disciple and encourage and invest and champion. So I think when your view is in that way, you never really get let down and you're happy to move on to the next season. I'd rather run hard and well and then hand something to a younger person more set up than when it was when I received it. And I think that's kind of the similar. I find you're the same. Like you were running, we were both running hard together and having a mad time, having so much fun and seeing heaps of wins and people get saved and like lots of great victories. But at the same time, it's like your identity, you know, wasn't attached to being a young adult pastor at City Point, even though a lot of people were gleaning from you with what are you doing and how do you create a structure and how do you pastor people like the way that you do. It's kind of like, I don't know. I love seasons, right? I love new seasons.
Yeah,
I get hooked on new things.
It kind of sounds like you're saying around about like the stewardship versus ownership. Like if you say, I own these people, then you would have trouble letting them go. But if you're saying,
wow, that's true.
I'm stewarding them, then you steward them for a season and you pass them on to the next.
Totally. Yeah, that's a good way to word it.
Because I think this is something that, say even now Ruth, my wife, she's now a mum.
Uh-huh.
There's going to be a season where her sole responsibility is not staying home with bub. Like if she wants to go into something else.
Sure.
So this idea of letting go and grabbing something else takes place in all of our lives.
Yeah, it's so true.
And so if we view our kids as something that we own, like some mums will never be able to let that go and move on to something else. But if they see that as something they're stewarding as a gift from God, then that ownership, and probably the same with our businesses, everything that we work with in our world, if we see it as stewards all from God, then we probably can transition, like keep that mindset you're talking about.
Totally.
Even with money, like even before you worked for the church, with that mindset, I bet you've never had a problem giving to the church.
No, it's like, it's not ours anyway, hey.
Right.
It's kind of like, oh, we're lucky to even have 10%.
Right. So it's a perspective, that big perspective shift of it's not even mine anyway. Fully. I'm stewarding it.
Yeah, that's great. I think you're good at articulating things that I spend about 5 minutes trying to say, and then you wrap it up in like a great 10-second statement. That's so true.
We've got time for one more question before we wrap up. And this will go back to you personally. And so this is one question I like to ask a lot of people that come on the podcast. What one thing are you doing in your life now or God's working on in your character now so that you're not the same Chad and Lewis in 2021 as you are in 2020?
Yeah, wow. I think for me, it might be just the season we're in globally, but I feel like it's a season of pausing and reflecting and being broken, like reshaped and revalue systems. You know, a lot of us, whether we like it or not, are being forced into a new normal at the moment. But we all know this is a season, it will finish, but then this moment in history will be looked on for years and years to come.
Sure.
Like our kids' kids will talk about the exact season we're in. So I actually feel quite privileged we're in this season that literally generations upon generations will talk about what happened with that worldwide pandemic. That's never, you know, so we're in this moment. Like to me, I'm like, wow, we're in this historic moment that can't be accidental. God's placed all of us knowing we would be in this significant moment in history.
Yeah, wow.
So for me, I'm just trying to honestly just really embracing it. And obviously with no disrespect to everything going on, it's horrific what's happening in people's lives and health and economy. So there's so many stages of grief. But for me personally, as of probably about 2 weeks ago, if I was to be totally honest, like a month ago, I was just like, whoa, this is crazy. What's going on? But about 2 weeks ago, I finally like came to my senses, like asked Holy Spirit, what is this? Like, what am I to do in this? And even us as the church, what are we to do? And the Lord gave me three things. One was call, actually like building friendships again and actually getting back on the phone and calling people.
Call.
Actually like physically. Yep. So I FaceTimed maybe like 19 friends the last few days and all of them are like, whoa. Oh, what? Why are we FaceTiming? Oh, this is kind of cool. 2 hours later, we're like, oh, that was actually so nice to hang out. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Versus just a texting lifestyle, technology relationships. Second thing was to create. And for me, in my case, it's songwriting.
Sure.
Feeling like the Lord's putting that on my heart a lot to write new songs. And
so this is going to happen?
I think we're going to write a song together, Chris. You thought I was joking at the start, but let's book you in. I'll book you in after this podcast. And the third thing is recalibrating the family dinner table, like what that looks like
love
for me.
That.
So for us, to be honest, last 4 weeks, you know, we're all at home and we're not often, I'm not rarely like get to be at home at the dinner table with our fast-paced life and church and meetings. But being home 4 weeks, seven nights a week, like it's a new normal. And our kids, honestly, are thriving. And it's just been anyway, to answer your question, I'm just waffling here. But I honestly think what I'm doing is getting broken. I feel like I've asked God to break me. Like, please break me. Not, I hope I get broken or I hope you reshape some things. Just actually saying, just break me to pieces. And reformulate or recalibrate what I should look like as a person, so that I can lead, not just church and ministry, more just like leading myself, to be honest, and lead my wife and our kids, and seeing ministry and music and influence, all these things as, in some ways, secondary to just who do you want me to be, God?
Yeah.
Who is the man I'm meant to be after this? So that we look back and we're actually thankful for that season in a bizarre way. Yeah, but that's me. What about you, Chris? It's pretty full-on times. Like, what's God doing in you in this season?
Oh, geez. It's a big question. I'm not supposed to be the one being asked questions.
Sorry, can I flip this? Can I flip this? You're a wiser man than me, so I want to know.
Very similar. Cool. Yeah, a reevaluation or reinvention is kind of my one. Do I like the way I'm doing my finances? Do I like the way I'm doing my family? Do I like my daily routine? All those things. It gives us time to reevaluate in this season, which I think is amazing. Like, even... It's kind of scriptural in the Old Testament. One out of every 7 years, they didn't work. Right. Farmers didn't work.
Okay.
So it kind of made me think, if I wasn't going to work for a whole year in the 7 year period,
right,
who would I be training up? How would I be doing things differently so that everything ran better or as well while I'm away?
Yeah, cool.
Which is such a cool concept, right? If you weren't here next year, what would you be doing now different? And it'd be huge. You'd be doing a lot different. You'd be raising leaders different. You'd be investing to people different, friendships differently.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
And so this season, like you said, it's a great recalibration and reinvention of who we are.
Fully.
Based in a break time. And I do think that we got too busy. People get too busy. People stop asking questions about what's the meaning of life? And now we can do that again.
Fully.
And so now we need to just provide a structure for people when they do that, not to implode the family unit, but rather build on that as well. So mine's a reinvention, which is
cool.
It's great. That's, I think it's going to be really good for the body of Christ as
well. Totally. That's so cool.
Yeah. Thanks for being on the show today. It's really good to hear your heart, insights into this stuff, and looking forward to that song and future City Point Worship.
Let's do it. Let's write that song.
And all our listeners, all our viewers, thanks for tuning in again today. We've got some more great content coming out each week. We hope something today has really grabbed your heart. Maybe something that Chardon has said is really going to shape the way you do this season, or encourage you in this season, encourage your family, whatever it may be. And we look forward to seeing you next week when you tune in. We'll see you then.